Truly blessed be the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Psalmist said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgiveth all of my iniquities, healeth all my diseases, redeems my life from destruction, satisfieth my mouth with good things, renews my youth like the eagles. Bless his holy name.
Amen.
We truly bless the name of the Lord. We welcome you this morning to the Lord's house as we study God's word, as we sing, as we truly bless the name of the Lord. Those of you here, anybody in the parking lot, and any that might be listening later on the website, we're so glad that you're a part of this service. Let me say thank you for being so nice to my family last week. They really enjoyed being here. Hannah always gets a kick out of singing, and of course Brian enjoyed sharing about the work in Australia, and so y'all were really nice to the whole family, and we appreciate y'all being that, and continue to pray for Pam. She's weak. I left her asleep this morning. Hope she's still asleep when I get home. Her appetite's not that great. I'd fix her anything she wanted, or if I couldn't fix it, I'd go buy it for her, but pray for her appetite to get a little better as well. Maybe pray. Lord, we do thank you as we come in your presence. For those that are gathered here, those that are listening later, and Lord, truly we bless the name of the Lord, the name that's above every name, the name at which every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Father, you know our hearts, you know our needs. You know the situation in every family, every life. And Father, may you today fit your blessing, your instruction to our particular need. And Lord, I thank you that you're so great that you can move from person to person, pew to pew, aisle to aisle, and do all of that and bring glory to yourself. For we do honor you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Ed, and good morning to everyone. Good to see you all this morning. We're starting a brand new year and got our system all back and running again, right, guys? Everything's...
What? We're still limping.
Oh, you're limping? You still are? Well, it looks good, I can tell you. So we thank you for the hard work that you have done. We will go as normally we do every Sunday morning. We're going to start off with a hymn sing. If you would take your hymnals, or you can look on the board. Amen, brother. It's on the board. Oh, how I love Jesus. All four verses as we stand, please.
Sound
Amen. Welcome someone this morning. Say good morning. It is good to see you all this morning. And Brenda, I want to thank you for your faithfulness. You're right over there carrying the load by herself this morning. And we'll get into the prayer request in a little bit and let you know that Miss Kathy and Robert are under the weather this morning. But Brenda, we appreciate you carrying on over there with us and keep us on track. And main thing, keeping me on track. That's a goal in itself and a chore. And we thank you so much for that. Way of announcements this morning. Don't want you to forget Wednesday night, folks. We know, we have a good time on Wednesday night. We truly do. And if you don't believe that, just come and find out. That's all I can tell you. Just come and find out. We'd love to have more of you here on Wednesday night. We'd love to see that go. Look in your bulletin. You'll see there's been a donation made in memory of Jerry Kelly. A donation made in loving memory of Jerry Kelly by Doug and Ann Burgess. And we certainly thank that Doug and Ann for their kindness and their thoughtfulness there. Also, a reminder that the Lottie Moon, we finished the Lottie Moon with $2,010. Right, Brenda? That would be it. So that's that. Those are the announcements that I have. Jeff, did you have anything you want to bring on as far as the Boston Butt totals and all of that? Okay.
Thank you. There was a lot of donations. We appreciate those. It was real successful. It was one of the easiest ones that we've ever done. And I thank everybody, all those that bought, those that worked, those that cooked, those that wrapped. Thank you.
Well, I'm just going to pass this on. Everybody I've talked to said it was delicious. And thank you all for the great job cooking. Probably the best you've ever done, I think. So. Where I'm at with it. I really believe that too. And it was really, really good. And thank you. All right. Let's now, are there any other announcements anywhere? If not, then let's go to our prayer request. I have several that's been passed on to me this morning, either by you or by Sunday school. Let's remember the Farrell Schimbach family. Brother Farrell passed away. His wife, Dot, passed away. And let's remember the family. Let's remember my son Jeff and his family. All the family have COVID. They all have it this morning. No, I have not been close to them. And so they are neighbors, but we have not been. They have not been together for a couple of days. So, but anyway, they are suffering from COVID and seem to be doing okay. But it's still with us. It's still with us. And let's remember also Miss Pam. Let's continue to pray for her. The pastor has given you a situation there, and let's remember her and the pain management that she's having to go through as well. Let's remember the Donna Hobbs family. There's another death there in that family. As I mentioned a while ago, Robert and Kathy are under the weather. Both of them are under the weather this morning, so let's keep them in our prayers. Are there others this morning that we need to remember? Yes. Amanda Wallace. Okay. Amanda Wallace. Okay. Are there others?
Leonard.
Yes.
I've heard from Mary Donovan this week.
Uh-huh.
Several have asked about her, and Michael talked with her daughter this week. She's been in the hospital, but she's back at an assisted living facility. She said, I have her address and her phone number. If anybody would like it, get in contact with her. Her daughter said she might remember you, she might not.
Yeah. Let's do remember Miss Mary. I tell you, she was quite a character, and enjoyed her being around her. She was never a dull moment around Miss Mary. I can tell you that right now. So let's keep her in our prayers. Anybody else this morning? Yes, Kenny. Yes. Amen. Love those praise reports. God's able, isn't he? Absolutely.
Leonard, I was over at the nursing home this weekend. Maria is really adjusting well to the new facility.
You know, she loves this church.
Oh, yes, she does.
And she loves the people
I
in this church. Yes. Yes, she does. Thank you, Janice. I'm so glad she's adjusting well. I was afraid that might be a problem after living as long as she did over there at Stanley Manor. It's just, I'm glad she's okay. Anywhere else? Then let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning, please. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for another day you've given us. We thank you for this Lord's Day. You provided for us, Lord, in a place, Lord, that we can come. We can come to your sanctuary, Lord, and we can come here to worship. And we thank you, Lord, for those that are here for that express purpose to worship your holy name. And Lord, we do thank you for the blessings you give us each and every day. And now, Lord, as we go forward in our service today, Lord, we don't want to forget our pastor. We lift him up to you today, Pastor Ed, as he'll come. And as he preaches to us, we ask that you would be with Miss Rita today as she leads the music and prays. But then, Lord, we ask, Lord, these special requests that we've had this morning, we lift them up to you this morning. Lord, we pray for the Farrell Shimpock family, Lord, who's lost a loved one, lost their mother. We pray for Jeff and Charlene and the entire family with COVID. We continue to pray for Miss Pam, Lord, as she continues with pain and management, Lord, and waiting on tests and things that has to happen, Lord, for her. We know, Lord, that you're able to heal her body, and we pray for healing for her. We ask a special blessing upon the Donna Hobbs family. Again, another death there who's taken away. We pray for them. We pray for Robert and Kathy, who are under the weather today as well. Amanda Wallace, we pray for her. Miss Mary, we lift her up to you today, Lord. Miss Mary Dunnigan, we thank you for her. We pray for her. And Lord, the praise report that Brother Kenny has shared with us about Barbara, we pray for her and continue to pray for her, and we thank you for her. And then, Lord, a special prayer goes from Miss Marie at Burris, Lord, this morning as she's adjusting to a new home. These blessings now, Lord, as we go forward, we lift it up in your name and for your praise and for your glory. And these blessings I pray in your holy name. Amen. All right. We are, as I said, we're getting back to normal and our music-wise also. And it gives us a chance, Lord, to be able to do things back like we were doing with our praise music. We have our praise team that works. And I called Rita up and I said, Rita, it's time to get our praise team going again. And so Miss Rita's going to come and share with you now. So thank you, Miss Rita.
Well, I know you saw in the bulletin, the song that I chose today is called Sanctuary, and it's just a beautiful song. It's a beautiful prayer, and it's very short little verse, but it's repetitive in this song. But a couple of verses of scripture I wanted to read to you before we go into the song, and the first one is Exodus 25:8. And it says, and let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. So we know that a sanctuary doesn't just happen, does it? It has to be built, and it has to be maintained. And that's what this song talks about, is prepare me. Prepare me to be that sanctuary. And then Psalms 96:6 says, honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. So if he's dwelling in this sanctuary in our body, you know, we're going to draw that strength from him. And, you know, we can have, a beautiful life drawn from him. And I didn't put this down, but another part of the song is a very important part, and it says with thanksgiving. So we need to be thankful, you know, that he will build in us a sanctuary if we allow him to and if we ask him to. So with that being said, will y'all stand and join me as we do sanctuary? We've done it before, so it should be familiar.
Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and
Thank you, Rita. You know, trying to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit and preach the sermon that the Lord wants preached each week is always an adventure. Last week, I was really working on a sermon, thought it was going to be pretty good, and then all of a sudden, the Lord changed it about not this past Friday, but the week ago, and then I preached a different one on Sunday. So I thought, well, that one's pretty good. I'll just go ahead and work on it some more, and it'll be good for this Sunday. Well, didn't work out that way either. And this one's Leonard's fault. The little chorus that he had us singing last Sunday morning just won't leave my mind. And yet, what I have today goes with what Greg taught and what the song that Rita just let us in. You remember what we sang last week? Change my heart, O God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, O God. May I be like you. And I've been mulling over that for a few days, and so I want you to join me. You think of the profound implication of that little chorus. If we can just sing it as words, and say, oh, that's a pretty little chorus. But if we sing it as a prayer, as a commitment, as a desire of our heart, it takes on a really, really deep meaning. It begins with a prayer. Change my heart, O God. Do we really want God to change our hearts? Do we really want God to work in our lives? Is our attitude, our desire, our commitment for God to just work in our heart? You know, it's interesting as you deal with people. And people are people and always have been forever. You know, some folks have this attitude, my mind's made up, don't confuse me with the facts. Have you ever met anybody like that? It gets very interesting when you know, as a pastor, you take the Bible and you say, now, right here it says, this is Jesus. And somebody says, no, it don't. That isn't Jesus. Well, but it just says it's Jesus. Their mind's made up. You think about the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes of the day of Jesus. Over and over again, the scriptures pointed right to Jesus. The scriptures that they knew backwards and forwards pointed right to Jesus, but they couldn't see it. You remember on one occasion Jesus said to them, search the scriptures for they speak of me. Jesus was saying, listen, I want you to know. I want you to know that I'm the Messiah. I want you to know that I'm God's chosen. I want you to know. You remember in John, he says, he came into his own, but his own received him not. But as many as received him, them he gave the power to become the sons of God. Change my heart, O God. Is that really the commitment that we make? It was the commitment of the psalmist in Psalm 51, verse 10. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. The psalmist is saying, Lord, I want my heart to be clean. I want my heart to be right. I want my spirit to be right. Lord, I give you permission And see, that's where it starts. It starts with permission for God to show us what needs to be done. And then our willingness to go along with what God has said. Create a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. That's Psalm 51:10. Now when you go to Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24, much the same thing. Psalm 139, verse 23 and 24. Search me, O God. Know my heart. Try me. Know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. He's saying, Lord, just look at my heart. Look at everything about me. See if there's anything in me that's not right. Anything in me that's not right. Try my thoughts. And lead me in the way everlasting. You see, I doubt that these two psalmists were the same guys. Or it could have been ladies. You know, they probably wouldn't have admitted it back that day, but it could have been ladies that wrote those. But the desire was for God to change their heart. Change their heart. And a growing, maturing believer is a man or a woman, a boy or a girl, whose intimate desire is for God to change their heart. Now that song goes on to say, make it ever true. Make my heart true. Make my heart true. What do you mean true? Our hearts need to be true to God. Greg said something in Sunday school lesson about our hearts being totally focused on God, not on other things, but upon God. How many times, well, I'll back up a minute. Back when I was a kid, how many times out on the playground, I'll swear on a stack of Bibles. You ever hear that? I'll swear and cross my heart and hope to die. Now that's what we did in Albemarle. If you grew up somewhere else, maybe they said something different. How many times did the children of Israel say, God, you are our God and you are only our God and we will follow you forever? And before the sun went down, they were following Baal and Ashtaroth and some of those other gods and goddesses. Over and over and over again, the history of Israel was, well, you know, you're God, but their hearts were somewhere else. And if our hearts are going to be true, God's going to be number one. And there isn't going to be a number two. Now, we'll have other interests. I mean, our jobs and our families and our other things. We're going to have those, but as far as the devotion and the leadership and the worship and the service, God comes first. If my heart is true, if your heart is true, we want God to be first. I am the Lord thy God. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make any graven images. One God. And one God only. Our hearts, if they're true, they're going to be true to God. Sadly, many people that are believers, there are times when God is not number one in their life. There are other things that take precedent. Other activities, other projects that take precedent over God. Other things that they worship more than God. I flipped on the TV Monday night, just the time all those people were gathered around the football player who made the tackle, and his heart stopped and they had to revive him, and now they're glad that he seems to be recovering. And I listened for about 30 minutes as everybody talked about prayer, 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 and all the people praying for him. And I'm glad they did. But the thought came to my mind, how many of them pray generally? How many of them really have a relationship with God? How many of them at that moment in concern for an athlete that could have died on the field offered up prayers, and God said, who are you? I don't believe I recognize your voice. No, God wouldn't have said that, but is God number one? Is God number one? If my heart is ever true, God is number one in my life. We're going to be true to our spouse. We're going to be true to our spouse. We're not going to be here, there, and yonder swapping. I saw something in my news about some type of new wife swapping deal, and I'm thinking, how sick, how sinful, how wrong. If our heart's true, we're going to be true to the person that we stood before God. Now, we may have stood before a preacher, we may have stood before a justice of the peace, a magistrate, or somebody else, but we stood and made a vow of commitment. Our hearts are going to be true to our spouse. I was thinking about that in 1 Peter 3, verse 4, 1 Peter 3, verse 4, and the next few verses. But let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and a quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner, in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are, as long as you do well and not afraid with any amazement. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. It says, husband and wives, treat your spouse with love and caring. If our heart's true, we're going to be true to our spouse. If our hearts are true, they're going to be true to our word. We're going to be honest. If we say something, it'll be, as far as we know, accurate. Now, sometimes we tell something or say something and find out later we didn't know the truth, or we only knew part of the truth. But it wasn't because we were trying to deliberately mislead somebody. It's because we just didn't know. But if our hearts are true, our words are going to be true. And then he says, change my heart, O God. I want to be like you. You know, it's cute when you see a 2, 3, 4, 5-year-old following dad around, and they mimic his walk, and they mimic his talk, and they want the same kind of clothes in the smaller size. They want to be like dad. Do we want to be like our heavenly dad, our heavenly father? Father, I want to be like you. What does the Bible say about him?
First John. Back to First Peter. We're still in First Peter. Chapter 1, verse 15. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. It is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. If I'm going to be like my Father, I'm going to strive for holiness. I'm going to strive to live the kind of life that's holy before him and before the world. Much the same thing in 1 John 3:3. It says, and every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Holiness set apart. I've told this before. But, you know, one day I was praying, and I said, Lord, there's far too much sin in my life. And the Holy Spirit says, well, Ed, how much is enough? How much is it too much? It's like I was saying, now, Lord, there's this level of sin, but if I could get it down to this level, then be all right. No. The desire and the commitment should be, I don't want any sin in my life. Now, we're not going to reach that till we get to glory. But hopefully there's less sin in your life than there was last year this time, and less than there was in 2020, if you were alive then. You know, less and less. We want to be pure. Our Heavenly Father is pure. He's holy. 1 John 4 says in verse 7 and 8, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. Everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God, and he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. If we're like our Heavenly Father, we're going to be filled with love. Filled with love. When you see someone who's hateful, mean, hurtful, revengeful, always out to get even, has no act of charity, no act of kindness, and they stand up and proclaim, I'm a Christian, take it with a grain of salt. They may be, but only the Lord knows. What's the little chorus? And they'll know we're Christians by our love, by our love. Yes, they'll know we're Christians by our love. Our Heavenly Father is love. Notice, it didn't say has love. It says his very nature, his very being is love. His being is holiness. His being is pure. His being is love. And the more we become like our Heavenly Father, the more we will be holy, the more we will be pure, the more we will be love. Turn with me back over to the Gospel of John, chapter 14. And you know, Jesus and the disciples are they're in the upper room and they're sharing, and Jesus is telling them he's going to prepare a place for them and he'll come back and get them. And verse 5, Thomas said, Lord, we don't know where you're going, and we don't know the way to wherever it is you're going. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also, and from henceforth we know him and have seen him. Well, Philip comes up with a question. Philip said unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us.
And Jesus said unto him, How have I been so long with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. How sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Jesus said, Listen, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So if we want to be like God, we're going to be like Jesus. What about Jesus? Compassion. Great compassion. For the sick, for the hurting, for the poor, for the outcast, for the sinner. Great compassion. And not only did he care from afar, Jesus cared in a way that he saw that the hungry were fed, the sinners were brought to a relationship, who were willing, were brought to a relationship with the Heavenly Father. The sick that came to him were healed. Those who had other needs had those needs met. Jesus said, if you want to see the Father, look at me. And the little chorus says, Father, I want to be like you. Change my heart so that I am like you. That's a beautiful, beautiful commitment. Sad to say it, there's many, many Christians don't desire that. They want to look like the world, and they want to dress like the world, and they want to go the places that the world goes and do the things that the world does, and they don't really desire to be like the Heavenly Father. They hope that in the end, somehow or another, they walked the aisle, maybe they went through a baptistry or they were sprinkled, and that's going to get them into heaven. But folks, how sad to live our lives in such a way that people do not see Jesus in us. The growing, maturing believer in the Lord Jesus Christ is the one who desires with all of his being to be like the Father. And to have a heart that's true. The psalmist had that. Create in me a clean heart, O God. The other psalmist had it. Search me, God. Find anything in me that's not right. And deal with it so that my heart is right. And when we have this desire, we'll never be satisfied to be backslidden. Because we'll think, I don't want to go away from my Father. I don't want to be a part of the Father's family in the pig pen. We'll never be satisfied with the status quo. Okay, I've reached a certain level of Christianity, and that's cool. It's been 50-some years ago, but I remember standing right about there in front of the offertory table and the guy saying, I'm not going to come to church as much as I used to come because I know all I need to know. Now, that's a sad thing for a deacon to say, isn't it? Duh. He was satisfied, and his life and his influence showed it. His lack of a good influence. Sad. If our heart is to be like God. If our desire is to have a pure heart, a holy heart, to be like our Father, we're never going to be satisfied. We're always going to be reaching to be more like Jesus. More like Jesus. More like Jesus. Until we step over into glory. And then the Bible says,
and we shall see him as he is, and we'll be like him. But we can strive for that now. I pray that the desire of each person that's here this morning, each person that perhaps will listen later, is that you can say with all my heart, change my heart, O God. May it be ever true. Change my heart, O God. I want to be like you. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes for a moment? If there's anyone here that can't say, Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior, would you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior right now? Walk the aisle and let us know it. Could all of us say with the psalmist, search me, Lord. Anything in me that's not right, deal with it so that I can be more like you. Oh, and the wonderful thing is we don't have to do it on our own. The Holy Spirit comes to convict. The blood of Jesus cleanses. The Holy Spirit just empowers, enables us. All we have to have is a willing heart. Lord, make our hearts willing to become all that you want us to be. Now may the Lord bless you, the Lord keep you, the Lord be gracious unto you, make his face to shine upon you, and give you his peace. In Jesus' name, amen.